I found out in my life that some of the greatest attacks happen specifically in two places. Right before great victory comes and right after the victory has been completed.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Today's message was taken from a recent service here at Pace Assembly. This sermon is entitled, You Shall Recover All. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
There's some folks that are not coming to church right now because pain is coming to their life, and the enemy said there ain't no sense in you going down there. You're not getting anything out of there. But if you know what I know, there is only one place that I know that I can go. And while there may be some hypocrites in the house, there's a whole lot of saints. And when we all get together, the body can heal the body. You look at his life, none of you would have suspected that he's been there. If he told his whole story to you, your jaw would drop. It's because of the anointing that begins to ooze out of my life, because I remember where I was just a few days ago. Y'all ain't hearing me. I remember when I looked at my burned out life and the mess that it was in and all the struggle and the trouble, and that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I wouldn't be standing on this stage strumming my guitar to the glory of God. But thank God for the blood. There's a price to be paid. There's a price to be paid. Anybody who's been through some fire, some smoke, some pain, some sorrow, some jealousy, you can imagine, you can relate to these guys who wept until they could not weep anymore. Has anybody ever been to that location where you've wept until you can't weep no more? There's no more tears in there. What happened in this story is that they wept until they couldn't weep anymore, and then they had to find somebody to blame. So the Bible said that they attacked their leader, David. And they said, David, this is your fault. Hurting people hurt people. And the reason why that many times you're in a state where you feel angry and strike out and want to blame somebody is because you're in a position backed up against the wall, and you think, and the enemy has convinced you, that there is absolutely no hope of recovery whatsoever, and so now you're mad at everything and anything. But I came to tell you that God sent a word for you this morning that in spite of where you've been and in spite of what's going on, there is hope to recover all if you'll hope in Jesus. Hurting people hurt people. That's the reason why these mighty men went off on David. David was in great distress, and I'm going to tell you something. I think I can speak from a little bit of experience. Has anybody taken a load on your life sometime, and other people don't know what's going on, and the next thing you know, when the next thing happens, it's like a pile on at the 1 yard line on a football game. Am I relating to anybody out here? I mean, it makes no difference if it was 100 miles away from where you were, because you're the leader. Everybody's looking at you, and it's a pile on. I just preach to myself. I'll amen myself. I'll fall out myself. I'll put a cover over my own legs all by myself. I can't get no help in here, because so many times we're so quick to blame somebody else instead of saying, hey, wait a minute, there must be something else underlying in what's going on right here. But usually the leader is the easiest target to point fingers at, and they said, it's your fault, David. And I'm going to tell you, like David, I feel like I felt like David sometimes, even in recent weeks. David said, you know what? I don't know if I want to fight this next fight or not. I'm going to tell you, I've talked to pastors, senior pastors, in recent weeks who've called me on the phone and said, Pastor, I need you to pray with me. I need you to pray with me because I'm ready to walk out the door and quit. These are successful pastors, if you would call that success. There are churches, hundreds, and some have thousands in them. And they said, I'm so tired of the fight, I don't know if I can fight anymore. I said, I got you. I can't relate to anybody who can't relate. That's the reason why I don't tell you my problems, because it does no good for me to tell you pastoral problem because you're not the pastor. But when I talk to another pastor who's walking it through and he picks up the phone and we call each other, we talk to one another and you say, yeah, I'm ready to quit. I said, well, don't call me. I'm ready to quit too. I don't know. Some of you are so spiritual out of here that I don't know if you can relate to this or not. But if I ever got anybody in this building or anybody watching online right now, maybe it's all the folk online, who's ever been to such a place that you said, after all that you've been through for years, you know what? I don't think I want to fight this battle. I think I'll just fold it up. David was in such great distress. He wondered, can I even go on? Now I need to give you just a little background here, and I'm not going to be before you long. I know you may think that I'm going to be here for an hour, but I'm telling you, I'm going to give this to you and drop you this word, and then I'm out of here. This was not the work of the Philistines. He just left them. This was the work of the Amalekites. The Amalekites were dirty fighters. They would prey on the weak and the young and the sickly and those that were lagging behind. God said, I hate the Amalekites because they're the ones who sneak up behind Israel while they're walking in the wilderness and they're distressed and they're tired and they're weary, and they pick off those. This was the work of the Amalekites. While he was fighting the battle over here, the Amalekites were taking his children and his wives captive. Because you know, like I know, if it isn't one thing, it's another. Has anybody been fighting some battles recently that it was nonstop from one thing to another, to another, to another, to another? You feel like you're floating up and you get a little gasp of air from the water and down you go again. One thing after another. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. I mean, you've been pounded by the Amalekite spirit for so long, it's knocked the wind out of you. Oh, you're good at talking big at church. Praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. But at nighttime, you cry yourself to sleep until you have no more tears. And here's David who said, I don't think I can fight another fight. I can fight the Philistines. You know what makes this fight, this war on terror, so hard? Is because it's not a military group of people dressed up in Nazi uniforms that come walking out on the battlefield. This is an Amalekite spirit of terrorism that's coming in the same suit. Wearing the same pilot's uniform, wearing some kind of street clothes with a bomb strapped around them. It's the spirit of the Amalekite right up out of 1 Samuel chapter 30. David said, I could fight if it was Philistines. I know how to do that face to face, but these Amalekites, they're dirty fighters. They won't fight face to face. They're behind your back. They fight everything that you love. They fight against your wife, your husband, your children. They fight you when you're weak. They fight you when you're old. They fight you when you're young. David said, I don't know if I need to fight this fight or not. I mean, I can face them straight up, and if that's the case, you know, like I know, if it's a face-on fight, let's get it on. Let's go outside. Let's do it. Let's get it on right now. But it's that sneaky Amalekite, unseen, dirty, and come along when I'm tired and weary, and I don't know if I want to fight this fight or not. David said, bring me the priest with an ephod. Let me find out if I even need to fight this fight. I want to stop right here and say quickly, there are some fights that you're fighting right now that God said you don't need to be fighting. But because you won't seek the Lord in prayer, you just keep running out, and your flesh is getting weary and your spirit is tired, and you're trying to box with something that's just arm's length away from you, and you can never figure it out. Listen very carefully. I've been here, done that. When you're fighting with a spirit, ladies and gentlemen, it's like trying to nail Jell-O to the floor. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, every time you hit it, it just goes in 50 directions, because that's the way spirits operate. That's the reason why when they go supernatural, you got to go spiritual and supernatural. You don't fight with flesh and blood, but you war against principalities and powers. There is the spirit of Amalekite in the world we're in today, wearing out preachers, wearing out Christians, wearing people out. The Bible said that the Antichrist in the last day in the book of Daniel would send that spirit that's one right after another to wear out the saints. But I came to tell you, the fight is worth fighting. Get in your prayer closet and come out with a word. And God said, sent me to this church to tell you today, without fail, you shall recover. I think I'll preach this to myself. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. I look at your neighbor and tell him you're in the recovery room. That's where you're at. You're in the recovery room. Come on, touch your neighbor and tell him you're in the recovery room. But I was listening to a preacher late last night preach back to me. Several years ago preaching, and I just happened to pull that up on YouTube, and he started talking to somebody about when he went on the mission field, and he told the little missionary that was there who had macular degeneration that was having to look out the side of his eye. He said, I came to tell you that if there is no macular degeneration in the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. And in the next few moments, the boy's eye came right up. I reached up and put my hand on my eye. I said, I'm just in the recovery room. I'm about to step out because the healer has come. I'm not going to let my life stay burned out. I heard the word of the Lord say, get up and pursue. You shall recover. Oh, am I talking to anybody in this house? Come on, musicians. I'm in the recovery room. Put your neighbor and tell them I'm in the recovery room. What does that mean? It's the place you go after the illness, after the storm. It's the act or the process of returning to the normal state after a period of difficulty. This is the definition. It's the return of something that has been lost or stolen. If this word is reverberating in your soul right now, I want you to give God about 10 seconds worth of the best praise you know how to give him right now. And that's the only ones I'm preaching to. I know you're tired. I know you're weary. I know you've fought till you can't fight anymore. You felt sorry for yourself, but you don't think you can fight again. But I came with a word. You're going to win. Recover all and do it today. Shout yes, somebody. Be seated. Don't give me about 3 minutes and I'll be done. Satan's trying to shut me down like he's trying to shut some of you down. You call my office, say, Pastor, pray for me. This is going on. You looked at things getting burned out. They're on fire. They're confusing. They're hurting. You're under the attack of the enemy. Why? Because he's afraid that you're about to get everything back that the enemy has stolen. Woo! I don't know who I was talking to, but I felt virtue come off of me right then. You ought to praise him till you see the lost saved. You ought to praise him till the Holy Ghost comes in an outpouring. Because your pain has led you to the promise, and your repentance has led you to the recovery room, and no weapon formed against you is going to be able to prosper. Everything the enemy has attacked, Satan's afraid of losing it in this one service right now. I've never seen the day when so many people are dealing with suicide. You heard Pastor T. Young people feel like it's, why? Because they've lost hope. You know why? Because they're not hearing enough of Jesus. I said they're not hearing enough of Jesus. So turn off the junk that's on your tubes and on the television and on the internet and pump them full of the hope that is found in Jesus Christ until it overflows out of them. I don't want to talk about Jesus no more. We're going to talk about Jesus until he takes over the whole neighborhood.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.